everybody, and welcome to the bestoverodds.com anime and manga podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today we are brought to you by Busted Tees. Started in years ago by the College Humor people, Busted Tees has been trying to bring you guys the funniest and hilariousest shirts possible. Click link at the bottom of the page or click any of the banners on the site. Go check out Busted Tees for some awesome deals and some great t-shirts. Busted Tees, resolve to wear funnier t-shirts. We also have our own shirts, if you're interested. So why not head over to destoprods.com/store and check some of those out. As always, we're constantly accepting new design, art, and ideas and such. So if you have some, please don't hesitate to send them to bobbywan@destoprods.com or post them in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. If you submit design art and we like it and use it, we'll be able to pay you based on how well the products are put it on sale. If you have a design idea, we'd love to hear from you, and we'll credit you if you use it, but unfortunately we won't be able to pay you. Sorry, it's business stuff. Also, this year, we are doing Extra Life once again. For those who don't know, Extra Life is an annual charity that this year will be running on November 2nd from 8 a.m. to 8 a.m. And it is a 24-hour gaming marathon, with all proceeds going to the Children's Miracle Network hospitals that we're supporting. In our case, we're supporting the Sick Kids Foundation in Toronto. All proceeds donated go directly to the hospitals that we're supporting, and all donations are tax deductible. So if you're interested in that, that'll be cool. So heading over to deathstoreprods.com/extra-life. There's a big banner at the bottom of the page. You can click to go to that and donate or join the team and help us fundraise. Anything you guys can do to help will help, and it'll be greatly appreciated. So again, that's deathstoreprods.com/extra-life. Big banner at the bottom of the page. Check it out, donate, or help fundraise. I'm your host, the Dead Man, with my new fancy microphone arm setup.
Aww. Ooh.
Yeah, I'm fancy. Joining me today, as always, we have Bovion.
Hello.
And Butchertron.
Ahoy, ahoy.
I like my new mic arm. It's fancy.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, Pudge, what have you been reading or watching?
All right, well, this could, well, depending on how much you guys want to talk about it, this could go very quickly or very slowly.
Well, relatively quickly.
Well, it's one show.
Okay.
That I'm going to be talking about. I don't have a laundry list.
Oh!
In front of me anymore, so.
Well, that's a first.
No, but I've been...
It's like you're one of us now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
One of us.
Yeah, it sucks.
One of us.
Anyway. So, recently, I've been rewatching Darker Than Black, which is a great show, just if somebody decides to turn it off just after I say this next sentence. It's a great show. Go watch it. Give them all of your money.
Yeah, I think I actually watched some of that.
But yeah, it basically, the setup basically goes that 10 years before the start of the show, some event happens where Hell's Gate, a place that they call Hell's Gate, appears in Tokyo, and a corresponding area of the same character appears in South America, and they call that Heaven's Gate. And it sort of just shows up, and it's a big disaster, and ruins lots of stuff in a wide area around it. And also, for whatever reason, the stars, the moon and the stars disappear, and they're replaced by not the ones we've been used to for millions of years.
Well, that's unfortunate.
And as a sort of side effect to this, people started getting various special abilities, and they have thus far at the beginning of the series been kept secret from the population at large, and they're colloquially known as contractors. And contractors basically can have any sort of ability from trying to think of an example that wouldn't be too spoilery, but they can, say, create rainstorms, basically, at will, pretty much. They can create storms, or basically think of an X-Men power, or a power you can think of. They probably have it.
Eye lasers. They can make you horny. That's an actual power.
I don't think eye lasers would be more guns. Practical. There is somebody who
some comic book characters have the power of guns.
Well, there's a character who doesn't appear until the second season, who basically can pull literally anything out of his jacket.
Oh, it's his power of hammer space.
Yeah, basically.
Cool.
He literally creates an alternate dimension in his jacket. But what comes along with this, with these abilities, comes a price. Pretty much. It's sort of a compulsion that they have to do every time they use their power. Say, sometimes it's fairly simple things, other times it's really unfortunate things. It seems to be pretty random. It doesn't matter so much on the power, who does what, from what I've observed.
But yeah, one of the guys I saw, I can't remember what his power was, but after he used it, he had make a square out of stones.
Yeah, he has, I forget the exact number, but it was 8x10 rectangle of pebbles that he needed to put in rows and everything. And it's just a compulsion. They have to do it when they use their power. Within reason. They use their power for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then they generally have enough time to get out of a situation.
It's not like the guy would fire off one eye beam laser that had to dance around a block seven times. Which
wouldn't second shot.
Yeah, it would make the fight a bit more hilarious. Just it's like, oh no, someone's coming. I'm gonna use my eye lasers. It's like, fuck, I gotta dance.
Fights between two people that would be old fashioned duels. If you miss,
yes,
it takes 10 minutes to reload.
Yeah. But that really sucked with old fashioned duels, someone only had a contact based power. We're gonna duel, it takes 20 paces, but my power only works if I touch you. Well, you're fucked then.
Well, yeah. Basically, they work for the contractors, have been quote unquote employed by various intelligence organizations from various nations. They're pretty much sort of go-to spies. They're completely, they're very rational. They don't lose all emotion, because that's silly, but they always make the rational choice. What's best for their self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you never have to torture a contractor, is one of the things that they say a few times in the show, because they will always give up information in order to preserve themselves, because that just makes sense.
That kind of makes them shit spies, then.
Well, they don't get caught. If somebody can literally blow you up with his mind.
Yeah, but what if
they're generally hard to catch?
What if the contractor comes in to try to get someone, or get some kind of piece of information or something, But there's another contractor there waiting. That contractor takes out the contract that was sent in.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, every single piece of information that was given to your contractor is now the enemy's. So the all the
enemies.
That's
why you
don't
tell the contractors anything they don't need to know.
It's like, hey, go do this thing. Well, okay.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much how most of them work. It's
they don't tell them jack shit.
Yeah, they. It's a need to know thing, and it's like, go do this, or we'll kill you. And they go, I guess I better go do that. Because choosing to die would be stupid.
Yeah. But wait. If they can't blow you up with their mind, why don't they just blow the guy up with their mind and threaten to kill him?
Because they have... I assume there would be contingencies in place for contractors who tried that.
Well, it's kind of hard to put a contingency in place if a guy has the power of a nuke.
Well, yeah.
Small explosive device affixed to the base of the skull.
They need to get them unconscious and under operating table first. And again, if the guy could just go Chernobyl anytime he wants. Like, oh god, someone's attacking me, blow up. Problem solved.
Yeah, but then he's dead too.
Not if he has the ability to survive his explosions.
That would be two abilities. And there's everybody's one ability.
What if his power is to create explosions that don't hurt him?
That's awfully specific.
So there can be awfully specific abilities. You don't know.
Heroes did it.
Yeah.
just saying.
If Heroes did it, it must be good.
Yeah, that means it has to get every series that involves superpowers.
That show was totally successful. The show was totally a successful thing for NBC and a total flop. It was totally a good show.
Well, anyway.
Yeah,
the story follows Hay, H-E-I, a contractor who is working for the mysterious syndicate in Tokyo.
Ooh. Spooky.
And pretty much the show is just him being given missions, and he and his team, I use the word team loosely, but not so loosely, really. It's, they have a complicated relationship.
So is it loose or not?
But yeah, he basically goes on missions, and I like the way it's set up. It's actually very ideally set up for Anime Club, so that's nice.
That's the thing.
Because they're two-episode arcs.
Okay.
Like, every single time. For the first season, at least. I think the second season goes into a more continuum.
Okay, it's a possibility.
But yeah, it's... They're two each... Mission arc lasts about last two episodes, and it's basically fun with Chinese Electric Batman.
I'm guessing
there's a very good reason he's called that, but
I'm guessing Hay is Chinese Electric Batman.
Yes.
Okay.
There's a very good reason he's called that, but you know. No, first episode, spoilers. Actually, it might be the second episode.
Okay, well...
The end of the first arc.
So just a question about this. So after, you know, Hell and Heaven's Gates show up, like, you said all the stars and the moon are replaced by other things?
They still look like stars. They're just...
Not
stars.
Does that mean the sun is no longer there either? Is that a different sun?
Well, I would assume it would be a different sun. But they never really go into what happened to the sun. It's just the moon and the night sky has changed.
Okay, well, that's kind of stupid. And actually, just with the moon, is it like the same kind of moon? After this event happened, was there like huge catastrophic tidal waves everywhere?
I'm not entirely sure. As far as they can tell, they're in a pocket dimension where something is keeping everything in check.
So wait, the Earth switched dimensions?
There's an episode later on where there's talk of any rockets that they send up can break the stratosphere. They literally cannot go higher than the stratosphere with anything anymore.
Well, that sucks.
For whatever reason. This is the world. The way the world is built is sort of, this happened 10 years ago. We don't know shit.
I love it if that was their actual explanation. Like, I guess we where they actually have to explain everything. It's like, this shit happened 10 years ago. We don't fucking know what happened.
We know very little, except that the areas of Heaven's Gate and Hell's Gate, well, Hell's Gate now, Heaven's Gate sort of vanished 5 years ago. This is relative to the start of the series, obviously, but Heaven's Gate disappeared 5 years ago after what was called Heaven's War, and then the area that Heaven's Gate had affected could not be accessed.
Okay. So is it like walled off, or you just can't go there?
No, there's something, there's some metaphysical effect preventing any sort of infringement on, I think it was like a 1,500 kilometer radius.
Well, that's
in
big.
South America. Southern Brazil, specifically, I think.
Hopefully that wasn't anything important.
Well, pretty much the area was already completely wrecked from the appearance of the gates.
Okay.
Already, so it was 5 years from anything important anyway.
Who knows, maybe life had like gotten back to normal around the gates.
Well, Hell's Gate's still there, and it hasn't happened.
So it's just a desolate wasteland surrounding this giant gate?
It's not an actual gate. This is just what they called it.
Why?
I don't know.
What is it, actually? Like, is it just a brick? Something
it's
like
an
the
area it's just reality warping.
So it's just an area?
Yeah, it's a large area in Tokyo where weird shit happens. It's basically if you're always on the infinite improbability drive.
Okay.
Except less hilarious.
Less you waking up being a knitted puppet.
Yeah. In one episode penguin. On the way to this. Yeah. In one episode on the way to the center of Hell's Gate, they're walking and they just sort of randomly pass through. You know, it looked like the road kept going, and then they just sort of pass through a thing, and they're walking perfectly fine on the side of a building.
That sounds kind of cool.
Somewhere completely else. You know, it's just weird reality. Nothing, no laws of science really apply in there.
Yeah, so does it just look normal, or is it still like a...
It looks like a ruined city.
Okay,
as much as a ruined city looks normal.
So, there's just this area of just destroyed buildings. And the people like the naming committee in charge of this shit looks at it and is like, what do we call this? Let's call it Hell's Gate. Why? It doesn't look particularly hellish. It just looks run down and abandoned. Like, well, I think it sounds metal.
It reminded them of New Jersey.
So I just call it New Jersey.
Because that name's taken.
To be fair.
So, do you know how many cities out there are named after other cities?
Name you just one. Thought,
I mean, New Jersey itself is just named after Jersey.
Yeah, and London. Ontario, London, England. York, New York. Scotland, Nova Scotia. Which translates to New Scotland. Yeah, they could have just named New Jersey. New Jersey people wouldn't give a fuck. They're too busy getting drunk and hanging out at the shore. Or other things I believe people in New Jersey do.
To be fair, they didn't really get into the reasons why it was named that.
Okay, well, they should.
The series.
They should. I want to hear the fucking naming process behind Heaven and Hell's Gates. Because there were no games, neither of, and both of them, from what you said, look kind of the same. So,
there are other cultural differences in the buildings and whatnot, but...
Yeah, but I mean, like, just kind of ruined shit everywhere. Like if Heaven's Gate turned into, like, some idyllic place where everything was absolutely perfect, then I can understand calling that one Heaven's Gate, that one Hell's Gate, but it just seems kind of arbitrary to call, like, one of them Hell and one of them Heaven.
So it was arbitrary.
Things are arbitrary.
So it's just like, we have areas where anything can happen. It's like, what do we call them? I don't fucking know.
Let's Hell name them after gates. Areas that have supernatural connotations. Heaven and Hell.
Boom.
Yeah, but there are other areas. There are
Science.
There are other supernatural Science. Connotations of different religions.
I can tell you almost any religion with an afterlife, with the exception of Buddhism, has sort of a heaven and sort of a hell.
So Buddha got fucked. They took every religion except for Buddhism and named these gates after him. Why do the governments hate Buddha? Anyway.
I mean, besides, it's not being the point at all of the show.
I know. I want to know what the fuck's going on with that. Because I'm an idiot.
Agreed.
I'm glad we agree on that.
Yeah, basically, the story follows Hay as he goes on these missions, and you slowly find out that he's trying to figure out what happened to his sister.
Which figure out that he's Batman.
Which happened 5 years ago in Heaven's War.
So was that actually a war, or was that something stupid? That it is arbitrarily named Heaven's War?
No, it was a war. A lot of people died. Okay. Touchy subject.
Well, not for us. I mean, it's not really...
It's best to not make jokes about it.
It's best not to make jokes about this fictional war.
You might offend some fictional people.
Fuck fictional people. They're not real.
Chinese Electric Batman will come find you.
Bring it. I want to meet him. Anyway.
But yeah, that's the basic rundown of Darker Than Black. It's put up by Studio Bones, which you may know by doing...
Yeah, I've heard of Bones.
Full Metal Alchemist, Eureka 7.
Yep, it's Bones.
Looking through... There's Urban High School Host Club they did too.
I've never seen that.
You've never seen... Okay, we're doing another series. We're on High School Host Club.
Okay,
just because you need to know about this series, because it's...
Okay, it's... so, Bobby Wan, what you been reading and watching?
I'm okay, honestly serious. But it's... You want to go?
Yeah, I'm going to go.
Okay, go.
So, I'm going to briefly touch on Shakugan no Shana. Because basically I watched it to the point where I'm like, I'm still confused. These fights are really anticlimactic. Which is about episode 6.
Okay, so tell us about Shakugan Shawshank. I have no idea what the fuck you said.
There's not much to be said. It's Shakugan no Shana. And I'm going to do a real quick search to get the wiki page up so I can name the fucking characters.
There's Shana, Yuji. What's his face? Necklace dude.
Curly.
Well, what's his face and necklace dude were the same person.
Okay, I got the list up. I have the list up. That's not a... Apparently that's not a human. Oh, there we go.
So maid, I think her name is Wilma or something. Wilmalina, that's the name.
Fuck, it's too hard to keep track of all these characters because it's not, like, organized by character importance on this page. It's organized by what they are. So, I look in humans, like, no. I look in Miss Days, no. And then here it is, actually, main characters. So, apparently they don't fit into their actual categories of what they are. They are main in their own separate category.
Main characters aren't people. God.
Okay. So, basically this plot point was brought up where Yuji could control Shana's actions, kind of, and it made her stronger and hot for some reason. She says that she feels hot when he's doing it. Which I guess makes sense, because she does fight with fire. Although she doesn't exactly use it effectively. And, yeah, the one denizen they're dealing with, he's just like, I'm gonna absorb all the city. And then they fight him. And then he fails.
The thrilling and climactic battles of Shibbity Shibbity.
And it was a really not climactic battle. Not much happened. Shana lost. Yuji yelled at him a little bit. Then Shana lost. Then Yuji yelled at her a little bit.
I have no idea what the fuck you guys are talking about.
Then this other freaking flame haze showed up.
So is Shana...
The Enchanter of Elegies.
Okay, so is Shana a guy or a girl? Because is Shana a guy or a girl? Because you said he and... You said he and she.
Oh, well, he yelled at her. Yeah.
You said Shana lost and he yelled at him a little bit. Then you said Shana lost, then he yelled at her a little bit.
Yeah, okay, my mistake. I fucked up. Yeah, Shana's a girl and Yuji basically yelled at her. And she did the Urasai, Urasai, Urasai twice in an episode. I've been watching for it now.
It's the recurring theme of Urasai, Urasai, Urasai.
Yeah, then the Chanter of Elegies comes around, kind of fixes everything, and then Shana wins. For I don't know why. Huh. And yeah, just like the action is so dull. Absolutely.
It sounds
dull.
Just hearing about it now, I'm already like, tired.
When you have a main character who's wielding a sword of fucking fire, your fight should be badass.
Or at least interesting.
They weren't. Not even slightly.
Well, that is unfortunate.
So moving on from that, Mirai Nikki, or Future Diary.
Okay.
That's a fun one.
I'm like 3 episodes in, but I goddamn love this series. I was just watching it online before, but I am acquiring the entire series because I will be watching through the whole thing. Expect it in the future on Anime Club. Because I'm hooked.
expect every potential anime for future anime clubs.
I don't know. There's a bunch of lost. Like, I would never do Shakugan no Shana. That's not going to be one unless Pudge picks it.
I can pick it out of pettiness.
Yes, well, that's because you're an asshole.
Yes, I am.
Then again, when you pick Card Fight Vanguard, I'm just like, oh yeah, well, I'm going to pick Why Survive. Card Fight Vanguard is clearly the better series.
Oh yeah. I don't even fucking remember what Why Survive is.
By the way, quick aside, I'm thinking of writing up a panel for us for next year's Anime North. Card games and their anime. Good, the bad, and the totally confusing. But we'll get to that later.
Yeah. It's business talk.
So yeah, Mirai Nikki, how to explain it? So, hold on, I gotta bring up my characters list, so I have it right here. Right here. So, we follow our protagonist, who is Amano Yukiteru. Most people just call him Yuki, so real simple to remember that one. And so he has decided that all throughout his life, he's just going to be a bystander. He doesn't really interact with people. He just records everything in a diary on his phone. However, when he goes home, he has imaginary friends.
Of course
There's
he
one
does.
One who seems totally unimportant so far, but one is Deus Ex Machina. Deus Ex Machina is the god of time and space.
Of course he is.
So, one day, Yuki is talking to Deus and is talking about his diary, and Deus Ex Machina basically says, well, would you like to change if you could? And he's like, well, I guess. He's like, okay, your diary will now tell you your future. Yuki wakes up the next day to find that his diary is telling him the future.
Okay, so was it previously established that this guy was actually a like master of time and space, or was it just, or did it just happen?
It's actually a plot point that Yuki thinks Deus Ex Machina is his imaginary friend, but he's not. He's actually God.
Okay. So he's putting the Deus
into God.
So he's putting the Deus into Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah, he's basically God, and so what Yuki ends up finding out is that his diary will tell him the future of everything around him. It doesn't necessarily pertain to him. It's basically the observations he would have written. And so things get crazy with that, and Deus Ex Machina explains. He's like, I'm a god, but because I'm a god, I can exist in your imagination. So, yes, I'm in your imagination, but your imagination didn't create me. I simply entered it. And yes, your phone will tell you the future. However, if your phone is destroyed, you're dead. Basically, how this works is the person's diary and their future, and the future of the phone and the future of the person kind of become one and the same thing. So if the diary is stopped from updating, they no longer have a future, so they will cease to exist.
Will it be immediately, or will it be up to the point where the diary stopped? Or like, does the diary update, like, does it have like auto update? Like every couple days it'll update the next few days?
It does auto update as often as you would have updated it, which becomes a plot point in like who can use their diary how often. He can use this all the time because all he ever did was enter shit in his diary. So it updates constantly. Okay. However, at the point when the diary will be destroyed, there will be no more entries after that point, and the entry will be dead end.
Okay. So can you transfer that diary to a different phone?
No. It is in whatever device you were previously recording your diary in. I'm guessing you could have a paper diary, which I think would be the coolest looking one.
Yeah, it'd be kind of shit if you had like a, if you're stuck with a phone diary, because like what if you have like a really shit phone?
As far as I've seen, the diaries we've seen have been a phone, a phone, and an MP3 player.
Oh, Japan. You and your phones.
So, lots of diversity in the diaries.
Oh, yeah. Or what baubles they have on each one.
So he continues to use his diary in order to become better at life. He avoids fights. He gets perfect on every test. Because he enters in the diary what the answers were. Or he would have entered it. But since it's in the future, he now has the answers. And so, like, his grades soar. And everyone starts to hate him because of it, so he has to start avoiding fights, which he keeps doing by reading his phone. Anyways, one day during a test, he's like, if you guys want to start getting the right answers, just read my mind. Suddenly, this girl Yuno at the front of the class looks back at him. So she's Gasai Yuno. She's our second diary holder. And so basically, when he meets her, they start running from the third. And it's after this that the whole plot gets explained. So they deal with the third chasing them. And it's at that point that Deus Ex Machina gets together all of the diary holders. So basically, this is how it works. 12 people were given the diaries. If the diaries are destroyed, you are dead. The last man standing will become God.
Okay.
Because basically, from my remembering of the plot, God is just getting too old for this shit.
God is falling in the very well trodden footsteps of Riggs and Murtaugh.
And then God, Deus, he does the most dickish thing to Yuki. He says, well, since you've already managed to take out one diary holder after you got a dead end, you're totally my bet for winning this. To which all the other contestants, except for Yuno, go, oh, really? Looks like I'm killing this guy. Of course, they don't know each other's identities.
Deus, you asshole.
Yeah. Don't they have, like, a sort of kind of anonymous chat room thing?
Yeah, it's an anonymous chat
room. They sort of a meeting thing, and they see shadows of people, but they can't. Yeah.
Hmm. And so, it's the one important thing to remember is that Yuno, her diary is the Yuki diary, actually. It's all about Yuki.
She's a fun character.
She's sort of referred to in the wiki as a Yandere character.
Oh.
To where she is obsessed and in love with him to near mentally debilitating states. There's actually this one scene I like, and we're getting into some episode 2 spoilers. Episode 2 spoilers, not so bad. Where... Is episode 2? I'm pretty sure it's episode 2, because I'm pretty sure I only watched 3. There have been bombs planted all over their school. And that the ninth is basically trying to take out Yuki. And she has promised to protect Yuki. And he's pretty much in a situation where he's going to die because classmates betrayed him so that they don't get blown up. At which point, she says, fuck it. If they turn on him, they're not worth letting live if he has to die. To which she runs through the school, setting off motion sensor bombs all along the way, blowing up classroom after classroom, murdering students to go and save Yuki.
Oh, God.
I love this character.
She sounds fucking awesome, but oh, God.
Yeah, it is episode 2 where things really turn dark. Like, at first it's like, okay, we're going to have people trying to kill each other, so it can get pretty dark. But in episode 2, like, she's like, oh, hey, I don't like you. Or the ninth shows up. Hey, I'm going to kill you first. Blowing up classrooms now. You see students just getting blown the fuck up.
So with these, does like Deus then just come down and fix everything? Or does he just let everything just
all
just
collateral damage is... Yeah, has weight.
Deus is a dick!
Yeah, well, he gets bored easily. When you're God...
Yeah, I know. It's like, you can do anything. What do I do? Oh, fuck no.
Let's make a game that will play with people's lives. Actually, it's established right in the first episode that Deus is a dick when Yuki's talking to him before he gets the diary. He's basically like, things are getting boring, so I got this war going on. I'm playing a couple different games. It's like, you shouldn't start a war just because you're bored. He's like, why not? I'm God.
Yeah, y'all got a problem with it. Just fuck you. I'm God.
So yeah, that's the basic setup for the series, and I love it.
It sounds fucking amazing.
It's dark, it's got an awesome premise, and the way the diaries get used and how they get used in conjunction really makes for an interesting combat dynamic where it's all about the strategy. Because all of the people playing can see the future. But all the people playing can change the future.
Yeah, actually, that's something I'm wondering. So can the people like edit the journal entries from the future and change the future that way, or is it like they actually have to physically do things differently?
You have to take actions that alter your course. You cannot edit your journal for things to go differently.
Okay.
But then you run into the problem of what if me trying to prevent it is what causes it in the first place?
Yeah.
That hasn't happened where I am, but... Although it does kind of happen in episode 2 a little bit with the whole friends betraying him. He runs up, he's like... Because his whole plan is, I'm going to get my friends to help me and then everything will be good. He runs up to his friends, hey guys! Bam! Betrayed. Which doesn't turn out well for his friends either, though.
Yeah, you'd think he'd have written down, it's like, hey, my friends betrayed me. It's going to be a pretty important observation. That's the thing I'm wondering about. Like, with the journal entries, once they are written in there, are they, like, fixed so that even if you change something, they're still the exact same?
No, the journal entries change as you change your course of action.
Okay, so wouldn't
the journals edit themselves?
Okay, so would the journals change if somebody else like actively takes like something that would change the course of action for you? Or
yes,
is it only
someone else
you take action?
Changes any diary holder can change the diaries.
Okay, so then wouldn't like the ninth having said, hey, they betray this guy or I'm gonna blow up your school, wouldn't his action then cause the diary to tell him, hey, I went to see if my friends would help me. They betrayed me.
He doesn't actually say things that directly pertain to him, and while Yuno has a diary about him, it only updates every 10 minutes.
So can you just wait a couple seconds to get the update?
Or, you know, 10 minutes when there are bombs planted in your school.
Oh, but like, it
set
would
to
have
go
been...
off in 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. you just said there are motion sensing bombs, not... Not
there
like
are motion sensing bombs, time bombs, heartbeat sensor bombs. There's a fuckload of bombs.
The ninth likes bombs.
So were the heartbeat sensor bombs put up to just random students or like only diary holders or what?
The ninth. Her heart.
Oh, the ninth. Okay.
She dies. Cause, school blows up.
Because I was just thinking, like, if she had like put it out to random students, just so as the girls like running down the hallway setting up motion sensor bombs and blowing up the school, then that's causing other explosions in different parts of the school? Like, she blows up one student, then his heartbeat stops. That causes an explosion on the other side of the school. There's nothing but fucking explosion chains everywhere. Yeah, fuck your own heartbeat. Just look up like 5 students, you're probably going to blow the entire goddamn school.
But yeah, no. Mirai Nikki, I really recommend it. Everybody should go watch it now.
Well, after this podcast. Please.
It's just dead,
help.
Man. Just
You need help. Why don't you go to our sponsors? I haven't eaten in days.
But yeah, I'm assuming you're going to keep watching it, because I read the manga when it first came out, and I know what happens. At least the major plot points. It was a while ago, but it was, yeah. Yuno stops being fun levels of disturbing.
disturbing levels of disturbing.
She gets into very real. I'm uncomfortable. levels of disturbing later on.
She just got real.
In the last,
I don't know.
It'll probably all happen in the last episode.
It takes a lot for me to decide that levels of disturbing are no longer fun.
Oh man, the last little stretch that happens is. It's, yeah.
Well, I want to check out this show now.
You should. It's brilliantly done, but it's just. Did she just? What?
What is she gonna do with that radish? Something stupid like that. I don't fucking know. I make jokes. They're terrible jokes. Yes, I know. I'm the dead man. I'll be here all week.
Why not?
So anyway, Bobby, anything else?
Oh, no, that's all for me.
Okay, then. So, I guess on to me. So, I read some more Medica Box. And so, last time, when we talked about this last week, well, last episode, I guess, I had just gotten into the arc where essentially they got into the battle arc, where they have to, like, descend floor by floor, fighting various levels of the special people, abnormals with different powers and stuff. And while it progressed exactly as I thought it would, it was interesting seeing all the different powers that were there. With most abnormal abilities, you think there's something like really special about it. And with some of them, there are. Like, there's one guy who's able to, transmit, basically electromagnetic waves. Let him mess with the motor cortex in the brain and basically control a person's body. That's this guy's weighted words ability. Anything he says, a person has to do because, you know, he messes with their brain that makes them do it. But there are some people that have really cool powers. Like, there's this one guy who his power is reflexes. He basically put himself on autopilot. So he doesn't actually physically react to anything. His body just moves accordingly, and it does sound really cool. And there's another kid who he has this abnormality is any person he sees he wants to murder. And that translates into being weapons master and having a mastery over hammer space. I'm not even kidding. He literally has hammer space. They make a joke about it.
I believe he's... I think he does actually keep them somewhere. It's just they're like, where the hell does he keep all this?
His skill is like he was taught like the master of the hidden weapon technique. So basically he's able to hide any weapon on himself. But he's able to hide like a giant fucking like spiked club that's twice the size of him on him somewhere. And we never can see where he pulls it out from. It's just cuts to him and he has the giant club. Everyone's like, where the fuck did you keep that, dude? Like, what the balls? And it was just, his ability was fucking hilarious. I just loved how he kept pulling increasingly larger objects out of him somewhere and fighting with them. And then we also went down the floors and we met Manaka's sister, because apparently he's a sister.
Yeah.
And she's evil.
Oh, at this point you must have met her brother already.
Yeah, we met her brother. He's
okay.
Her brother's awesome. but her sister, I forget her name.
Can't help you there.
Yeah, but her abnormality is that she like hates people and only wants to be involved in experiments. Like, she believed that. So she was born to a life of luxury. Since she is, you know, Medica's sister, and Medica comes from a rich family, She believed that in order to have a rich and fulfilling life, she needed to suffer. So she like left her family, left all that shit behind, and just started living on the streets, I guess, studying biology and wearing a paper bag over her head because she's pretty. And then she got like drafted into this project and started doing experiments on a girl that turned her into a cyborg. And other BFFs. That's what she says in the comic. But anyway. So just going back to the guy who like can control people's bodies. He actually has a really interesting backstory. So with his thing, it was he spent 7 years actually not talking. He like lived in the street for a while, and he wouldn't talk to anybody because his power controlled him. In the manga, he is like some really big egotistical asshole whose only goal is to make everyone bow before him. Anytime he meets someone, his like first words to them are usually "bow before me" or "prostrate." And that's because when he was younger, his power actually did control him. So he spent 7 years trying like not to talk, and he had bandages wrapped around his head so he wouldn't open his mouth. Just hit my mic. And then he got into high school, and he finally took the bandages off, and the first words out of his mouth were "bow before me." And so his entire, like, at a fucking assembly hall, just an entire assembly hall of students just, like, collapsed to their knees in front of him. They just gave up trying to control his power and let his power control him. And the explanations behind these, they are really ridiculous, but they have some kind of grounding in a possible science type thing. Like with the guy, this one kid who can read minds. Well, not so much read minds is that he's able to receive the electromagnetic signals in a person's brain and basically be able to tell what they're feeling, anything like that, and it's like because of this he's able to like read minds and stuff. And this guy, he's able to like transmit his own like magnetic waves from his brain into other people. There's one girl who has like an insane lung capacity, so that lets her turn her voice into a cannon.
So she can just roda?
Basically, yes. And it's actually really cool. Just the way that these things are kind of somewhat grounded in some sense of like, if you took a lot of drugs and started thinking about how you could turn normal things into superpowers, this would kind of be a way, because there is no like insane thing where a person is able to like, there is no like weird eye laser things, there is no like I can pull a closet of things. It's things that when explained make some amount of sense. So anyway, that all happened, and it played out exactly like I thought it would. And then we finally meet Kumagawa. And he is severely underwhelming.
The fun part is, that's actually intentional.
Yeah, I've thought so, because they spent a good amount of time building him up. And the build-up was kind of awesome for him. So, like, building him up, we never actually seen him before. We never seen like any actual physical the physical representation of him that we've seen was a big fucking, was like a humanoid scratchy thing with like a really horrible demon face. And he looked fucking awesome. And when he was a child, he like walked around with this awesome fucking demon rabbit thing that looked fucking metal, and I want one. And then when we actually meet him, he's a guy.
Yeah, he's a very unassuming, relatively small guy.
Yeah, he's not, and with the way he talks, the way he moves, there's nothing particularly creepy about him, nothing particularly menacing. He's just a guy.
Don't they use a different font?
Yeah, with everyone else, they have like the same font, but with him, it's a much more blockier font that has weird little brackets on either side of it.
Oh yeah, they do the square brackets thing.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that gets explained.
It's more corner brackets. Because they have one like up at the top, they have one like up at the top left and one at the bottom right. Or I guess one at the top right and one at the bottom left. Yes. This is Japan. But yeah, he is just all kinds of bleh. I spent so much time building him up, and then, oh, hey, I'm kind of an asshole. Bye. And that was it. That was this entire scene. And so I have not read past that. I got him trying to introduce himself into the Flask plan. And yeah, this series is starting to wear off on me. Because before, I thought it was really interesting, of just the kind of, like, somewhat supernatural style of just a helpline. I thought that was really cool. And, you know, introducing all these characters, it was pretty cool. But then, like, when they introduced the Flask plan, I was like, okay, that's a bit of a bleh thing for me, but hey, they could build it up over the course of time. But no, they introduce it, and then, like three chapters later, let's go stop the Flask plan! Like, there's even a training sequence they're supposed to go through. That Madoka and Zenkichi, they're supposed to go through. That is some like really horrible, like insane death training camp thing. And they come out like covered in bruises and shit. And what do? We don't fucking know. They just did something. And now Zenkichi can cause earthquakes with his feet, but he's still not abnormal. He's not even special. He's just normal.
I think at one point he actually runs straight up a wall. His feet to grab to.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I guess I haven't gotten.
I think it happens later.
Yeah. The thing that I saw him do was he was like kicking swords out of a guy's hand up into the ceiling, and then as soon as they were out there, he just stomped his foot to cause an earthquake that made all the swords fall down on top of the guy. Which was, you know, still pretty cool. But anyway, yeah, Medica Box is starting to lose its charm for me. I'll probably keep reading a bit more, see what happens in like the next arc or something. But for now, I am very on the series. Moving on to another series, I'm not so on and more just on. I Am a Hero. So this series, I just started this one today, and I don't know what it is. So
maybe you should figure that out.
Yeah, so I'll just go through like some of the stuff that happens in it. So our main character, Hideo, is a mangaka's assistant. We're not entirely sure what he actually does for me, just, you know, draws stuff.
No, assistant things.
Yeah. You know, gets sandwiches. And draws what the guy doesn't want to. But anyway, so this guy, when we first introduced him, he unlocks the 17 locks he has in his apartment door. One of them is controlled by a fucking like car door beeper he has in his keychain. Then he goes inside and starts dancing. Just out of nowhere, just fucking dances. And then some small child appears talking to him, and he explains why he thinks that Japanese nude programs are kind of shit, because all the news anchors on there are just models or something. Now they're not actually journalists, and how he like prefers flight attendants, but he'd still fuck them both. Then the ghosts show up. So he pulls out a shotgun and just sleeps with that and prays. Then time stops. Then the next day comes, and he's woken to a show called Boob Morning.
Boob Morning.
Boob Morning. It's like The View, but with boobs. Well, bigger boobs. Pronounced boobs.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so then he goes to his job, and the kid shows up again, and he starts talking to him, and then he goes to a job, and he gets into like some weird discussion about what manga is. Where he believes that a manga can be a masterpiece, it's a work of art that can be like read thousands of years down the line. And then this guy's like, manga should never be part of the mainstream, it should all be counterculture stuff. Which I don't even fucking care.
Fucking hipster.
Yeah, fucking hipster asshole. It's like, I was into manga before it was mainstream. You guys read Astro Boy? I read Tetsuo and Adam.
Yeah, I just found this on my completely legal manga site.
Yeah. Affiliate and, go down to link.com.
Yeah. And it's listed under comedy, horror, psychological, seinen, slice of life. And there's 121 chapters of it.
Yeah, I'm around like chapter 10. Because like I said, I just started it.
And the picture they have for manga is what looks like a nurse holding a power drill and a knife, a big knife behind her back.
Yeah.
They both look bloody.
Yeah, I believe that's the cover for the latest Tonkabon, but I'm still on like the first one.
Yeah.
But like the first one, it's like a bunch of dudes in like paintball gear with shotguns and assault rifles. So there's like that whole conversation going on with like their fucking what manga is, and then he Hideo starts going on about some more stuff, and then a guy, Mitani, he says, "Hey, shut the fuck up," and then goes right back to hitting on a girl like half his age, who's been having sex with the mangaka they're working for, who then shows up the fuck out of nowhere, is like, "Hey guys, fuck, right? You just you guys can go home. I'm just," because I'm pretty sure he's drunk. And then we get to meet Hideo's girlfriend, because apparently this fucker has a girlfriend. And she's, you know, a nice enough person until she gets drunk. Then she calls him a useless piece of shit and tries to kill him. Yep. And when she is drunk, he goes into the bathroom, and the small child appears in the toilet. And Hideo pisses on him.
Peeing on children.
Yep. See, that's the story. It's like the story is just I have no idea what the fuck is going on. Like I can understand the individual events, but I have no idea what it actually is leading up to. I have no idea what the story is. Like who the fuck is the child? Why the fuck were there ghosts in that first bit? Where did it get the, like, would the shotgun actually work? Why? The ghosts, they showed up once. They showed up once, and then they never showed up again in the next few chapters. And that opening scene felt like it was from an entirely different manga. A manga I would much rather be reading. But the art style is still terrible. Like, if this actually was, like, a horror manga, I'd be much more forgiving of it, because there are some scenes that look genuinely kind of creepy. But they're very just boring scenes, but they just look so goddamn creepy because the art style is so bad. And Hideo, he has female lips, like he has a woman's mouth, but with racist Asian teeth. And I don't know what this is, and I don't want to know. It's bad. Anyway, moving on to my final thing. Bloodline. So with this one, it's a Chinese manhwa, and there are two chapters out of it so far. And it's okay. So the story of it is, a kid named Durian, that's his nickname, is going to this high school along with his best friend, Fei Hu. One day, they start hearing rumors about a school campus vampire. Like, students are going to the nurse's office with, like, giant bite marks under their neck with, like, blood dripping out of them and stuff. And so, Fuhei makes a bet with Durian, where Durian, like, goes to class, and she looks into the rumors of the school campus vampire. When Durian goes back to class, he meets Lilo Ai, who is a vampire. But we don't know this yet. It turns out her, like, father cast some spell on her when she was young, like a few thousand years ago, called Fantasy Day, which let her gave her the ability to walk around in daylight, as long as she, you know, had the energy to do it. But the second she revealed herself as a vampire to anybody, she would lose that magic. And somehow, Feihu knows about this. And she has this ability to, like, control people's minds. Like, when she's going around trying to figure out info on the the school campus vampire, she walks up to some girls and says, "Hey, can you tell me anything about, like, the school mysteries that have gone around?" Like, it's like, "Oh, who the fuck are you? What are you talking about?" And she goes, "Speak." And they tell her everything. They even start, like, fangirling out over vampire movies. And so we have no idea who the fuck she is, why the fuck she knows what the vampire is, who the fuck cares about any of this. And yeah, that's basically my main problem with the series, is that nothing is explained. Everything is left horribly ambiguous from the beginning, but not in a good ambiguous way. There are ways to do ambiguity really well. This is not one of them. This just shows us glimpses of the past and the Fantasy Day spell, and then just goes. And so I have no idea who any of these characters are, what their relationship is with each other, why I should care. And yeah, it's unfortunate because it has a cool setup. It has an interesting premise of just a vampire girl who is, like, living in modern day, trying to be just a normal person, but still dealing with her own vampirism. That could have been a really cool story. And we do get some of that, but barely, just barely. Like there's a scene where Durian is hanging out with Ai in the classroom. And they're just kind of like talking about stuff and how, and so Durian had, like, a broken arm, so he couldn't go to PE class, and Ai says she's naturally weak, so she can't participate in PE. And she says that when she's hanging out in the classroom, it's like she's in a different room, and she's able to hear all these, like, various sounds that are, like, just kind of normal stuff for her. It's, like, really awesome and really makes her really happy. And if they just had a gun with that, if they just had a gun with a vampire trying to live a normal human life and just being really happy about, like, the really simple things that humans take for granted, that could have been a really great story. It could have been really cool. But then we also have the relationship between Fuhei and Durian, which was never really fully said what it actually is. Like, who are they to each other? There's Fuhei's weird fucking psychicness and her extreme hatred of vampires for some reason. And yeah, it's only two chapters in, so it might get better. But right now, as a starting thing, it's not very good. So yeah, that's it for what we're watching then, and reading. On to news. And we have news. We have quite a bit of news. So, first up, in the 14th issue of the Miracle Jump magazine, Gantz creator Hiroya Oku stated that Gantz will be coming to an end very soon. So there's no what Gantz is. Gantz be fucked.
that is an accurate description, yes.
Yeah. For an actual plot description, it's about a guy named Kay who one day dies, but gets resurrected by a magical eight ball that then gives him a bunch of guns and tells him to go out and fight monsters with a bunch of other people.
Invisible monsters.
Yeah, and they're invisible for a bit.
Invisible for normal people.
Yeah, but then eventually they just say, you know what, fuck it. Normal people can see it too.
Like, everybody can see the monsters. It's a party.
And they also give them, like, super suits that if they use them too long, then, like, black gunk starts seeping out of all the holes on them and they can't use them anymore. And sex. Like, looking for an image for this article, I just typed, like, Gantz. I just got like 17 pages of just sex.
That's including always sex with, good.
Including sex with one of the monsters. Which, ew.
Yeah, those characters generally don't last very long.
Yeah, the turnover on, like, cast members for this is really quick.
There's like 5 of them.
Yeah.
Who consistently live.
Yeah. And one of them is a total asshole.
Yeah, I think there's like maybe 2 of them from the original group. Like the first team that goes out.
Yeah.
In like the first chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Who are actually still alive.
Yeah, and so...
And other people have just managed to survive thus far.
Yeah, and you also start getting, like, points. If you get, like, if you get 100 points, you can either, like, come back to life or something else.
Yeah, I forget what the other...
You can, like, stop participating in the game. But anyway, see, that's going to be coming...
Or you can... I think you can resurrect somebody else.
Yeah, so that's going to be coming to an end pretty soon. In other news... Neon Genesis Evangelion creator Yoshiyuki Sadamoto announced in the June issue of Young Ace magazine that he'll be ending his manga in 2 more chapters. So yeah, if everything works out well, then the manga will be finished in June. So yeah, 2 long running series are coming to an end pretty soon. So moving on to Rackspace news. Masami Yuki, the creator of Mobile Police Patlabor, has launched a new manga series in the June issue of Shogakukan's Monthly Spirits magazine. So the manga is called Disu X Komi, and is Yuki's first original series in over a decade. So the series is going to be about an aspiring mangaka and her brother. Adventure, ho!
it bears mentioning that he has done other work.
Yeah, he's done other work, but that's been his first like original thing.
Yeah, it's his first original thing.
Yeah, it's like he just took 10 years off, just like, you know what, I'm fucking good for now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so moving on. So it was announced that the June issue of Shueisha's Super Dash and Go magazine will be the last issue printed. This summer, the magazine will be moving into a completely digital format. So, Roka no Yusha, Bento, and Campion, as well as a bunch of other series, will continue serialization on the website when it launches. But a different series, Ningyo no Hanakako, will be moving over to Shueisha's Miracle Jump magazine. So, yeah. That's good for people, then. So, moving on to Rackspace news. Viz Media released a 4-page preview thing for an upcoming one-shot manga titled Mario by Masashi Kishimoto, who is the guy who made Naruto. The story is going to be published in the next English version of Weekly Shonen Jump, which comes out next week, I believe, on May 13th. So, yeah, this isn't the Mario that you're thinking of. It's a different Mario. And I haven't got a chance to read it yet, because I believe it's out in Japan.
Yes, I've found a scanlated version of it.
Yeah. You mean a completely legal version of it?
Yes.
Don't you?
Legal scanlation.
Yes. A legal translated version in English by someone who wasn't actually picked by the company. Totally legal. Really.
Mm-hmm.
Don't call the cops. We'll know if you do.
We'll find you.
Yeah, we know where you live. Anyway. Yeah, so Mario, I've got a chance to read it, but it looks kind of cool.
Yeah. The way it's drawn seems very... what's it? Akira.
Yeah, actually, now that you mention it. Yeah, so, well, it was announced a while ago that... that guy, Kishimoto, would be ending Naruto pretty soon. Well, not pretty soon. Well, relatively soon. So it'll be cool seeing where he goes after that. So moving on to our next piece of news. So, Hiromu Arakawa, the creator of Fullmetal Alchemist, Silver Spoon, and Hero Tales, announced that she'll be doing, I believe it's a she.
Yes.
Yes, that she'll be doing an adaptation of The Heroic Legend of Arslan, an acclaimed fantasy novel series by Yoshiki Tanaka. The manga of the manga adaptation of the books will be launching in the August issue on July 9th of the of Kodansha's Besatsu Shonen magazine. So the currently ongoing novel series, which was billed by Besatsu as the world's greatest historical fantasy, has actually been been adapted into anime and manga before. It's already inspired two anime films and a four-part original video anime that ran from 1991 to that all of them came out from between 1991 to 1993. So Central Park Media, which released the stories, which released the anime in America, described the story as, quote, "As an unnaturally heavy mist descends on the battlefield, King Andragoras and his most valued officers confer among the bodies of dead and dying soldiers. When Daryun, a young but highly skilled officer, voices his reluctance to send men into battle under these conditions, the king, unstable and enraged, banishes him. Now, Daryun's new mission, is to ensure the safety of the king's only son, Prince Arslan. Daryun and Prince Arslan set off on a quest of their own, but they can't succeed alone. They must convince both Lord Narsis and his companion, the archer Elam, to join them on their quest. Was to somehow help the soldiers in war. Now, a group of only six, they must somehow overcome an enemy of 300,000 soldiers. These unlikely soldiers have their fate on their side, so anything could happen." Dun dun dun. That'll be happening on July 9th.
Woo. Awesome.
So, yeah, moving on to our next piece of news. So in the June issue of Kadokawa Shoten's monthly New Type magazine, they revealed that a new anime from director Hiroyuki Imaishi is under work. The anime is called Kill la Kill, and it's being written by Kazuki Nakashima. These guys were the original director and writer for Gurren Lagann. So yeah. That'll be cool.
Yep. Awesome. Sorry, I have not much commentary for this news. I apologize.
Yeah, you guys never have much commentary for these news.
I'm sorry.
That's my way. So on top of that, acclaimed animator, as this article puts it, Shushio, who is the key animator on Gurren Lagann and the new Evangelion films, is designing the characters. And so, yeah. That's going to be happening. So the story revolves around two fighting schoolgirls named Ryuko Matoi and Satsuki Kiryuin. So on a campus ruled by force, a transfer student wielding a Wasami sword brings about upheaval. That's what it is. The picture that they have released for it is just a girl in a modified schoolgirl outfit with a giant sword and some guy, maybe lady with giant shoulder pads. So yeah, that'll be fun.
Shoulder pads.
Yeah.
The 80s are back?
Possibly. They have tassels on them. So moving on to our final piece of news. So the anime, the romantic comedy anime, Chunibyo Demo Koi Ga Shitai, is going to be in a second season.
Woo!
Yeah. This seemed important.
Second seasons are usually good.
Yeah, so...
I remember... I certainly remember the name. I can't quite remember what it was about.
Yeah, so the series is based on a, I guess, novel series. And the second season is going to be deviating significantly from the original novels, adding characters like, adding new characters, which means that the second season could, drastically drift off course from anything that people could be expecting. So that's cool.
Yes, okay. Now I recall what it is. Basically, it's the main character is a long-time sufferer of something called the eighth-grader syndrome, where you just, make up your own world, pretend you're the superhero kind of thing, and act like that in normal interactions with people, quote-unquote normal interactions with people, I should say.
Okay.
And he's recently come out of it as he comes into high school in an attempt to, you know, and he attempts to bury it behind him, and events don't
and things
really
happen.
Yeah. And, you know, the events that go on from then on don't really cooperate with his efforts to bury his quite embarrassing past.
Okay, then. I haven't seen the first season.
Two hilarious results.
Yeah, I haven't seen the first season, but that sounds pretty cool. So I guess that's going to do it for this week. Thank you all for joining us, I guess. Whatever. As always, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us at Desto Prods. I'm at Deadman underscore DD Prods. We have at Bowie Wan and Punchestron does not believe on Twitter. You
this
can,
is true.
You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/DestoProds. Subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/DestoProdsVids for myself. YouTube.com/BowieWan for Bowie Wan, and Punchestron does not upload videos to YouTube.
You can still subscribe to my channel if you like.
Okay, what is it?
It's... Actually, wait, I think my Punchestron channel got... With YouTube's upheaval, that never mind. Ignore.
Yeah. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us some reviews. Let us know if you want to see more, etc. You can also subscribe to us on Stitcher. Download the app and check us out on there. And we are on DeviantArt. So go to DestoProds@DeviantArt.com to link at the bottom of the page. And check out cosplay shit. We'll have more later in the month after Anime North. So
yes,
this week on the website.
Probably.
So this week on the website, we're going to be having the Anime Club for episodes 3 and 4 of Angel Beast go up today, same day this goes up. Then on Friday, we're going to be having the commentary track for the Amityville Horror posted as part of Platinum Dunes Month. Oh, that movie. Then this Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern, we're going to be having the Anything Cast live. Please go to longgames.com/chat. Let me hear from you guys and tell us about what you think we're doing with the site and everything. Then we're going to be having comics next Wednesday, movies next Friday, as well as the commentary track for Friday the 13th, also part of Platinum Dunes Month. And who knows, maybe Personal Issues will be out that week. You never know. It has been like 4 months since I released my last one. That is...
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. And next Monday, who knows, you might also get a new fanfic grab bag.
Shut up.
But this week,
I'm the only one who works on this site.
Hey, I do other stuff, like run the website. But anyway, yeah. But this week, you know, the week this goes up, you should be getting Nameless Wanderings, a double issue at that.
Mm-hmm.
Being that it has two numbers. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Fancy.
21 and 22.
Yeah. I'm wondering if my next personal issue, I put like every number that I've missed. You know, that way it'd be, I'm guessing it'd be like at issues 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12.
And then people will think they're actually getting more.
Yeah. It'd make people believe that they're actually getting content. But anyway, until all that stuff, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Bobby Wong.
And I'm Pudgetron.
We'll see you guys next time.